There was a question, was Judas Iscariot truly not saved? Of course. Now, let us open to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Yeah, Matthew chapter 26, verse 24. Huh? I'll read, huh? Matthew chapter 26, verse 24. Okay, I'll read Matthew chapter 26, verse 24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. So there is a connection in John 17. We open to John 17. John chapter 17, verse 12. Okay? You can write it, the address. You can write it and read it again in your home. Huh? John chapter 17, verse 12. I read, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." The son of perdition here refers to Judas. Then, did you remember I talked to you about godly sorrow and worldly sorrow? Yet, I explained that to you, but I didn't give the verse. Because I was like, it was something, I thought that the Q&A at the time will be just this Friday. So, I mean, I was informed that that time we have a Q&A, I was quite shocked. So, I couldn't find the verse. 2 Corinthians, let us open to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It's very clear. There is worldly sorrow and there is godly sorrow. Because Judas was sorrowful at that point of time when he knew that Jesus will be hanged. Huh? I'll read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. I'll read. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world," what? "Worketh death." There are two sorrow here. Sorrow of the world and godly sorrow. So that's why I told you, those people in the prison cell, when they got caught of the crime that they had committed, they were very sad. Yeah, how come I got caught? They were sad that they were caught. But in their mind, they don't want to change their life. There are many criminals, right? Even I think in Australia, they were in prison. Then the moment they leave their sentence, when they get out from prison, they also do the same thing. That is worldly sorrow. But godly sorrow is something that you have to repent. You have to change your life. That is repentance. That's why I told you, if the repentance of Judah was really a godly sorrow, he would go to Jesus and ask forgiveness of his sins. But where did Judas go? He went to the tree and hanged himself. It is a worldly sorrow. Now, we discussed, because the computer is here, about Alpha Course, no? I downloaded 4 articles, but we just look at this one. It's enough. So I'll read to you what is an Alpha Course first. Take note, huh? In its very short statement, take note. The way it is defined here, immediately you can spot one of the things why Alpha Course is not good. The Alpha Course, I'll read. The Alpha Course is a basic course of the Christian faith. From here, it's very good. Basic course of Christian faith. Commonly advertised as an opportunity to explore the meaning of life. Organizing with the Church of England, the courses is currently offered in 152 countries by many different denominations. Many different denominations. Now, careful, huh? Including Anglican, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, and Orthodox churches. Presbyterian also are excluded here, Orthodox churches. So you could see Anglicans, Roman Catholic is there. So by looking at this definition, which is also confirmed because I downloaded 4 articles, and this is very common, the 4 articles. So we could see that Alpha Course is an ecumenical movement. Ecumenical movement means just embrace all denomination. And you know, one thing I'm very sad when I see this one, the word Lutheran. Lutheran is a Christian church founded by Luther. Lutheran. You see, Luther, he risked his life in order to start the Reformation. You know what is ecumenical movement? Ecumenical movement is indirectly saying that the Reformation is wrong. That's why we want to go back to embrace what? Roman Catholic churches. If Luther could rise up from the grave, I think Luther would preach very loud, "Hey, how come Lutheran, you come back to Roman Catholicism?" So this is one, the definition itself, we could immediately spot that this is an ecumenical movement in embraces all denominations, including Roman Catholic. Continue. The history is here that the Alpha Course started in London. And now we look at some of the very important thing here. You know, when you take this Alpha Course, there are so many, there are around more than 10 topics that they would, meaning the courses, the lectures that you will be attending, around 10 courses. And these are the courses, most important thing is, who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? How can I resist the devil? Why and how should I tell others? Does God heal today? What about the church? How can I make the most of the rest of my life? Who is Jesus? You see, one important thing that in their series of lectures is not included is there is no mention of what is sin. That is very important. I believe along the way, they mention sin, but it's very lightly. And you know, the starting point, when you share the gospel, remember this one. I could see that now, as we have gone through the lessons of discipleship, I could see that some of you now have the fire to evangelize, to share the gospel. Don't forget to tell that that person is a sinner. The moment you miss that point, it's possible that the salvation of the person is not very sure. You must tell him that you are a sinner. That's the starting point. Because if the person is not aware that he is a sinner, what's the point of having a savior? That's very important. So that's one of the weaknesses of the Alpha Course. They don't mention sin strongly. And in another article, which is here, I read that when they invite people, when they invite non-believers, the old members of the Alpha Course have this agreement. They should try their best not to offend the visitors of the Alpha Course. Not to offend. Meaning, they should speak sin lightly. Because sin is offensive. You must tell the person that you are a sinner. That's the starting point. If he couldn't accept that, meaning he is proud. And there is no proud people in heaven, for sure. You must bow down. That's why the door of heaven is like, there is the wide gate and the narrow gate. It's small. So, because it's small, what will you do? Before you enter in, you must bow. You must be humble. It's not a wide gate. Wide gate, you just walk. See? You must bow down. There's no proud people in heaven. Now, talking of the doctrines, I'll read this one. The teaching of Alpha is intended to center upon the aspects of Christian faith about which all the denominations, you see, it's really economical and agreed. The Reverend Nicky Campbell, pioneer of the course, says, "What unites us is far greater than what divides us. It's more in unity, no doctrine of biblical separation." Catholic distinctives, for instance, pertaining to the saints and the Virgin Mary are absent. And is Baptist teaching on baptism, instead individual denominations are invited to provide follow-up course of their own. So, let's say for example here, this is Alpha Course teaching. Some are Roman Catholic, some are Baptist, some are Anglican. And we have some distinctives, isn't it? You see? Then these things will not be discussed. So Mary, idols, I will not discuss about these things because the Roman Catholic will be offended. So priest, when you go out, it's just your responsibility to go. For also for you, Baptist, for me to this. So there is no absolute truth in this group. And they used NIV version. Now, the third paragraph I want to read to you. Within evangelical Protestantism, The most controversial element of the Alpha Course is what is considered to be its charismatic slant. They are charismatic. 3 of the 15 sessions are given, 15 sessions, you see. 3 of the 15 sessions are given to the person and work of the Holy Spirit and cover the infilling of the Spirit, speaking in tongues and healing via prayer. Here, they are practicing speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is no longer applicable today, biblically. Let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 8 talks about love. And it's wonderful, Paul shifted in chapter in verse 8 about this kind of thing. And here is the this is the proof text that speaking in tongues is no longer applicable today. I'll read verse 8. Charity, charity is love. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, you see, prophecies, take note. Whether there be prophecies, they shall, what? Fail. Whether there be tongues, what? They shall, what? Cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall, what? Vanish away. So, we will continue reading, but take note of verse 8. There are very important things here. What? Prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. These are the works of sign and wonders. Huh? Then it's very good. The prophecy is linked to the word what? Fail. Tongue is linked to the word what? Cease. Then knowledge it shall be vanished away. Now, as far as the word prophecy is concerned, it is connected with the word fail. Let's jump first tongues. Then the knowledge is linked to vanish away, vanish away. The word that is linked with prophecy and knowledge, the verb here is a passive verb. Like, for example, active. I'm not very good in English, but because I study these things, I know, no. Let's say it's active. Active is I kick the ball, you see? I am the one who performing as an active. I kick the ball. Shan kick me. I'm passive because I received the kick of Shan. For example, Shan, eh? Then middle voice. I hit myself. So I am doing hitting myself. And the verb here that is linked to prophecy and knowledge, it's passive. So something outside that will cause to cease, but in tongues, it's middle. In the origin, it's middle. So the tongue will cease in itself. Now we'll continue. Verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now, this word in part and in part is very important because tongues, knowledge, and prophecies, they are revelations. So, as far as tongue knowledge is concerned, we know in part. But look at verse 10. But when that which is what? Perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When the perfect is come, that which is all these things will cease. What is this perfect will come? When the perfect revelation of God will come. So now, the Bible is already complete. In the beginning, in Genesis, it says, in the beginning. In Revelation, it says, amen. The Bible is already complete. God's revelation is already complete. So, that's why speaking in tongues is no longer existing today. In fact, if you study church history, those people who want to be a missionary to other places, they study very hard of the language. Why? Because speaking in tongues no longer exists today biblically. And you know, the word tongues there in the book of Acts chapter 2, in Greek, it's called glossa. You know, in the book sometimes, right, at the back, there is glossary. You know, glossa. The word glossa there is dialect. It's really a word. Because in the olden times, the Jews were scattered all over the places. So some Jews are born in Assyria. Just like you are Singaporean, Malaysian, but some of you are born here in Australia, Melbourne, and you cannot speak already Chinese. That's the case. Because they were scattered all over the world. Diaspora, they were scattered all over the world because of the consequences of sin that they crucified Christ. And the word Pentecost, I'll just link this one with a question. Because there is a question, what is Pentecost? And I will just link this answer. The word Pentecost means 50. And there is a feast, no, in Israel that is called Pentecost that is celebrated 50 days after the Passover. The Passover was the time when
all the firstborn in Egypt died. Then that's called Passover. So 50 days after the Passover, they will celebrate what you call the feast? Pentecost. And Pentecost is one of the feasts that all people in Israel, all the Jews would come to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And it was this time when the Holy Spirit come and they were able to speak in tongues. Because the people in Assyria come. The Jews from Assyria come. The Jews from other places, they come. So when the apostles speak in tongues, it's what? Dialect. Listen, for example, I am Peter. I spoke in Assyria, the language of Assyria. So those Jews who came and could hear, who came and they are from Assyria, when I speak the language of Assyria, they could understand. Are you getting it? So another apostle also speak about, let's say, the language of Babylon. So those Jews who came, who were born in Babylon, when they came in Jerusalem, then the apostle preached in the language of Babylon, they could understand. So the language there is what? Glossa. It's a dialect. And now it's something gibberish. It's not a dialect. I remember my lecturer. He's a lecturer of the New Testament, and there was a event in Singapore that says, come, join us speaking in tongues. So he went there. He was not a charismatic. He was a reformed theologian. He was a conservative theologian. So he went there just to experience. See, observe. Then he was called, who want to speak in tongues? He stood up. But he was a lecturer. He was a professor. He stood up. Then he said, you want to speak in tongues? Yes. Say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep on saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Faster. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Roll your tongue. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See? Okay, thank God. You speak in tongues. Actually, he was not speaking in tongues. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You speak, praise the Lord. Then you roll your tongue. So you speak in tongues already. You see, it's a trick. And in Singapore, we have this Bible college who is run by the charismatics. One of their subjects is how to speak in tongues. You see? You are trained to speak in tongues. That shows that it's not really a spirit that caused you to speak in tongues because it no longer exists. No longer exists. And we have seen it from the scripture. Remember this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Now, I want to show you, I will continue. Because the people said, the perfect here, right? When the perfect will come. The people, other people said, no, the perfect there is not a Bible. The perfect there is the second coming of Christ. It refers to the second coming of Christ. Now, let us open to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11, verse 26. I want you to show from the scripture how Paul uses the word, what word Paul uses when he talks about the second coming of Christ. You see? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, I'll read. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show the Lord's death till he comes. It's very clear. Till he comes, the second coming of Christ. It's very clear. And the word here, perfect, in Greek, it's teleon. Teleon. The ending is on. Because in Greek, if it's end with os, it's masculine. And it ends with y, it's feminine. And if it ends with on, it's something, it's a thing. So here is the Bible. So here in this part, I have shown to you that some of the areas where we could see that the Alpha Course movement is not right. It's really wrong. But now, if you ask me, do you mean, brother, all of the teachings of the Alpha Course is wrong? All? I will say no. Let's say, for example, I want to poison someone. I want to poison someone. So I'll take a glass, I'll put all poison in the glass. You see? Liquid poison. If I give you, let's say, for example, direct, I want to poison direct. I put all the glass poison, I give you. When you receive it, immediately you will know, right? This is poison. But if I were to put milk with very nice glass, I put a bit of poison that is enough for you to die. Say, Derek, I love you, I miss you, I'm going back to Philippines, thank you for all the good works. This is milk, milk. Well, but the domain is very logic. It's milk. You drink it, but there's a bit of poison. Not all the teachings of Alpha Course is bad. There are some parts of some parts which are biblical. That's why it attracts Christians. But there is a poison in it. It's wrong.
Now, one problem of
I am a fundamentalist preacher. But to be honest with you, this is one problem of the fundamentalists, including myself, including our denomination. We are very quick to point, this is bad, this is bad. But we know, we don't want to, we are not doing something. You get what I mean? Alpha Course is wrong. But you, Bethelites, are you doing something to evangelize people in a good way, in a right way? That's, you look at the scriptures in the proof of inerrancy of scripture. The scripture will tell you that you are bad. After the scriptures will tell you that you are bad, the scriptures will tell you where to go. Where is the right way? You see? We know that Alpha Course is bad. At the same time, we pray that you do something evangelistic that is biblical. You plan. You think about it. Then you tell your leaders, if you need budget, you tell them, this is what we want for God's glory. Not just, that one is wrong. That one is wrong. Then, if the people said, yes, I am doing what I am doing is wrong, then what will I do now? That one is wrong. Come on, join us. This is the right way. That's very good.
So at this point of time, I have answered the Alpha Course, and at the same time, I also link with Pentecost. What is Pentecost?
Pentecost. Now, there is a very good question here. All the questions are good. This is very good, relating to my message. If evangelism is not complete without discipleship, is it right to go out tracting or just go out tracting, just giving out tracts to strangers? I would say yes. It's good. Now I will explain to you. Before I would explain something, I want you to allow me to tell a story, testimony of my classmate in FABC. Because in FABC, every Wednesday, we give tracts. We give tracts. Then when we give tracts, sometimes we try to write our name and address. So during the giving of tracts, this man studied very early. The man that I'm telling you is a contemporary of maybe Reverend Kwek Swan Yu, or earlier than Reverend Kwek Swan Yu. But when he came back to school for 1 year, we were classmates. During his time in FABC, they just give tracts with his address. Just give tracts. Then, after that, for 4 years, he went back to Thailand. Then he served there. You know, 15 years after, he received a letter. He said, you know, I am the man whom I received tracts 15 years ago from Orchard Street. And are you still, can you write back to me? Are you still there? Because I want to visit your place. Because that person received a tract. After he received the tract, he just put it in the corner in the house. For so many years later, he was able to read the tracts, believe, and then God provided a pastor of that man. He met another pastor, and from there, he got saved. And that man really visited him to Thailand. And now that man is a supporter of the church. Do not undermine tracting. Now, I think in every week I give more than 200 tracts. For a week, I give more than 200 tracts. Most of the week, nobody comes to church. So what happened to those tracts? Just pray. Just give. What will happen? Just leave it to the Lord. As what we have learned yesterday, Paul planted Apollos what? Water. We don't know. There are people who water. Now, this is the case. This is the aspect of my preaching. You give tracts, 100 tracts. Then there are two people who come to the church from the tract that you have given. You see? So now that's take place. They came to church. Hey, hello, good morning. Thank you for coming to church. Thank you. Then after that, bye-bye. No. You invest your life to the people. Why? Because the people came. You see? That's the application of my preaching. So as far as evangelism is concerned, that is the first step. The moment in your when you evangelize people, the Lord bless your labor, then the Lord use you to bring people to the church, then that's the starting point. You invest your life, invest your time to the people. So if you give tracts, then nobody comes, just leave it to the Lord. So giving tracts is not wrong. You give, you plant tracts. Let's open to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy, are you there? Huh? Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Are you there? Yeah. I'll read. But watch thou in all things. Did you remember that Paul is the one who discipled Timothy? And Timothy becomes his spiritual son. And here Timothy said, Paul said, but thou in all things endure affliction. Do the work of an what? Evangelist. So we must evangelize. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. Thank you. Sorry, huh? So that's the right thing. You must raise, huh? You must raise.
Of five.
Yeah, I mean five. Oh, sorry. Five. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. You evangelize people. You share the gospel, bring people to church. And my point is, the moment you bring people to church, don't think that your job is done. You continue to invest your life. Especially now, the youth, your youth group. You know, I observe that there are newcomers, see, young people. So you who are like about to go to the young adults, before you go to the young adults, do you have young adults fellowship or adults saved? Adults. Oh. Before you go to adults fellowship, you pray to the Lord, make my life a blessing. That I could invest my lifetime, that I could bring these young people up in the Lord. I'll teach them how to live a Christian life. The next question is, like the gift, how do I know that this is the ministry in the church that I'll be serving? That one is very good. At the same time, it's difficult. You know, there are churches today, even conservative churches, even adopted this style, they have these questions. Just like maybe when you take exam. One, like question number one. In the right side, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So if you are strong in this, you answer 4. If you are strong in this, you answer 5. If you are weak, you answer 2. So are you good in speaking? I'm good. 5. Are you good in writing? Not so good. I'll answer 3. It's like that one. Then after that, they will add the total. When they add the total, they will know what's your gift. But you know what happened? I'm telling you the truth. No, it's not like just to tell you a story so that I can answer the question. No. What happened is this one. In many cases, when the girls total their answer, the girls are gifted to become pastors. Yeah, it doesn't hit with the truth of the Bible. So my suggestion is this. You know that there is a need, there are needs in the church. Please, I believe right now there are needs in your church. Do not jump immediately. You pray. When you pray, you also observe yourself. What is the gift that God has given you? So because it's very good that you are in the area which fits the gift that God has given you. Because remember this one. Every Christian has a gift. And it is God who decides the gift. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You read, when you go back home, just chapter 12, in the very beginning of chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Then, from there,
this is my gift. I like this. So you pray, Lord, I think this is my gift. I want to go in this ministry. So you try. You try with prayer. The moment you enter in the ministry, you become profitable. You become fruitful. You see? You blend with the people. You enjoy. That is the gift. I believe that is the gift. Like in True Life,
the supervisor of the Sunday school teacher shared this to me. She is my lecturer. And she told me, there is a lady who wants to teach children. She likes to teach children because she is a public school teacher. But you know, in the church, when she teaches, she ended up scolding all the children.
You're naughty. She ended up scolding children. Then, in the beginning, she looks very enthusiastic. Then later, the copy given to them, she just read. You know, children, you're not asked to read. You're asked to teach children. You are given materials. In your church, are you given materials in the Sunday school? Give materials. you memorize that one, you take the note, they never read in the Sunday school. Tell the story, make it lively so that the children also you will be able to catch attention. If you just read, the children will sleep, they will make noise. So the Sunday school superintendent realized that she doesn't really fit. So she gave advice to the teacher, better look for another ministry. So she stopped teaching and she looked. She went to another ministry. And when she went there, she became effective. She became effective. So as far as I'm concerned, I cannot tell you, this verse tells you that this is your gift. You know? The Lord will speak to you immediately. No. Be sensitive of your gift, then you go there to the area. Then if you are profitable, then God has blessed you. You see? That's the area. No need to take exam 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, this is the last question that I want to answer as far as the question here is concerned. Somebody asked me yesterday, that's a very good question. Brother, how to fall in love with heaven? Because I told you, the way to escape from materialism in this world is to fall in love with heaven. You see? The first thing you will do to fall in love with heaven is that to make heaven real in your life. Can we open for a while, John? Read John chapter 14. We will read verses 1 and 2. I'll start to read verse 1. Okay, I'll start to read verse 1, huh? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, the disciples here are very troubled because Jesus told them, I'm about to say what? Goodbye. It's very normal because we have emotions. The disciples ate with Jesus, slept with Jesus. They are very close for more than three and a half years. Then the people said, Jesus said, I'm going to say goodbye. They were very sad. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, what? I would not have told you. This statement is very important, no? If it were not so, I would not told you. This one, Christ is talking about heaven. You know, this is one thing we learn in counseling. Because the disciples were very sad. How did Jesus encourage them? Jesus took their attention and brought to heaven. This is the picture here of John 14. And Jesus said in the second part, what? If it were not so, what? I would not have told you. And Jesus never lies. Meaning here, this second phrase of verse 2, chapter 14, Jesus is saying, heaven is real. And this is the first thing that you need to nail in your mind, you need to nail in your heart that there is heaven. And heaven is a wonderful place to live. Heaven, then later, when Christ comes, it will become a new heaven, a new earth. Can we open to Revelation chapter 21. This is just a little picture of heaven, but it's far wonderful than earth. First, look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Now then, I read, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So the first thing that John, by God's revelation, tell us that in heaven, no crying, no pain. You know, I have sinusitis. I was talking one day two days ago at night, I was talking with some of you. Then I said, you need this you? I said, no, this is sinusitis, you see? In heaven, there's no more like this, no more pain. Those who have asthma, sometimes difficult in breathing, no more asthma in heaven, no? Now, look at verse 21. Chapter 21, verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 gates with 12 pearls. Can you imagine that? Every several gate was of one pearl. You see, there are gates in heaven, and the gates are made of what? Pearl. You see the gates here? Your city here, your nation is very progressive, but have you seen a gate made of pearl? Most are made of iron, and even there are rust in the iron. But when you go to heaven, the gates are made of pearl. And you look at, continue reading. verse 21. Several gates was of one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold as if it were transparent glass. Can you imagine that? You will be walking in the streets of gold. Is there a street in Melbourne made of gold? No. Made of what? Made of cement. Just look at these things. The gates are made of pearl. Then you're walking in the streets of gold. It's wonderful. You must fall in love in heaven. Heaven is real. And I tell you, if heaven is real, hell also is real. Let me open to Mark. Mark chapter 8. Chapter 9, verses 42. I will start reading. You go there. Those of you who are doubtful of heaven, you remember this verse, huh? Mark chapter 9, verses 42 down. I'll read. Start from verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if it had offended thee, cast it off. It is better for thee to enter into the life main than having two hands to go into where? Hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. And their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You look at the end of verse 33. There is a fire that will not quench. 44, there is a worm that never die. Look at verse 46. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And the last part of verse 45, it tells you again that there is fire. You look at verse 48. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And the last part of verse 47, it tells you what? There is fire that will not quench. So here in this very short portion of scripture, 42 to 50, three times it is repeated that fire cannot be quenched. Worms will not die. Three times, meaning it's very, very important. You know, I want to tell you a very practical thing. There are nurses, right? When you expose your skin in heat or in a fire, what will happen? Your skin will crack, right? Your skin will crack. And in hell, there is no medicine there. So what will happen to the cracked skin? It will be what? Infected. For sure. And when it will be infected, worms will go there, and the worms will not die. Can you imagine that? You are living for not just 1 month, not just for 1 year. It's forever. Your skin will crack, and there will be worms going over your body. It will not, you want to kill the worms, it will not die. He said, Lord, kill me. Lord, kill me. You will not die because you will be there forever. Heaven is real. Heaven, the gates of heaven, made of pearl. When you walk in heaven, the streets made of gold. At the same time, the presence of God is there. Heaven is heaven because of the gold. Heaven is heaven because God is there. I want to be with God. I want to fall in love with heaven. Go to heaven. It's a lake of fire. It's not a lake of water. No? If it's lake of water, we will go there. We'll bring our swimming trunk. Yeah, we will swim there. It's a lake of fire. Your skin will crack. There are worms. How to go to heaven? Let's go back to John chapter 14.
I'm not preaching. I just want to nail this truth to you, no? Because this is very important in relation with how to fall in love with heaven. Look at John chapter 14, verse 6.
I will read. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto me, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. Now, the article here, look at closely, I am the way. Have you seen it? I am the way. The article, the here in Greek, is an article of specification. It means, I am what? The only way.
This is very important because people today, especially Alpha Course, is telling you that there are many ladders going to heaven.
When you look at the world, when you go out from there, there are dozens of ladders. Just climb. That ladder will bring you to heaven. That is certainly wrong. there's only one ladder that will bring you to heaven. Who? Jesus, the only way. How sad it is when you are climbing the ladder. Ah, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. When you arrive, it's hell. And you're going to go back. Yes, you're going to go back. Did you remember the story of Lazarus and the beggar? Lazarus said, Lord, Father Abraham, I want to transfer. No, this is a fixed place. So after we die, there are two fixed places that we will go. Heaven and hell. The moment you arrive on hell, you're going to cross over. And salvation is acquired while we are still alive. Receive and believe. Active verbs. Receive and believe. Young people, Brother Domi, I'm still young. I have to enjoy life. When I reach the age of 50, I will receive. How do you know that you will reach the age of 50? Salvation is today. As what Pamela, as what Monica preached tonight, N-O-W, now! You see?
I impress this truth to you because deception is out there. There are many ways, what? In going to heaven. That is wrong. The Bible tells us Jesus is the only way, the way.